You're listening to the podcast of Eucharist Church in San Francisco, a community of faith seeking to live all of life in reference to Christ. Join us now for this week's message.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and your promise that it will not return to you void. Please accomplish your purpose among us today. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts to receive it. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our rock, and our redeemer. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As we said earlier, Tuesday this week was All Saints Day, a holy day that Christians have celebrated since the early centuries of the church. And so if your house right now is overfilled with candy and you're well stocked in candy corn and M&Ms, you're welcome. Because Halloween, which we celebrated this week, is really All Hallows Eve, or the evening before All Saints Day. So no All Saints Day, no jack-o'-lanterns, no trick-or-treating. So you're welcome. Originally, All Saints Day was a day set aside to remember those specifically who had given their lives for the faith. It was set aside to honor the martyrs of the church. And from the earliest beginnings of Christian practice, the Christian martyrs were held in the highest regard. They were honored as having attained something which every Christian should long for, should strive for, should prepare for, should be privileged to be called to. There was no higher position in the early church than that of martyr. And you can find the reason for that in the scriptures. If you read Hebrews 11, verses 35 and following, you'll understand why. The biblical author writes, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy." The early church honored those who suffered and died for the faith as those for whom the world wasn't worthy. And about 100 years after those words were written, there was a young slave girl named Blandina who was captured in what we know today as France, along with several others from her church community. Well, they were accused by the authorities of that day of committing incest in their worship services and of eating the flesh of children in their feasts. The Roman authorities decided that they would torture those Christians to make them confess to their crimes. A contemporary account of this story describes Saint Blandina's resistance this way. They write, "All the wrath of the mob and of the governor and of the soldiers beyond all measure fell upon Blandina, through whom Christ pointed out that the things among men which appear mean and obscure and contemptible with God are deemed worthy of great glory because of the love for him shown in power and not boasted of in appearance. For while all feared, Blandina was filled with so much strength that her torturers marveled. But the blessed woman, like a noble athlete, renewed her strength in the confession, and her comfort and rest and release from the pain of what was happening to her was in saying, 'I am a Christian, and nothing wicked happens among us.'" She just simply said, "I am a Christian woman, and nothing wicked happens among us." As they continued to torture these Christians, they hung Blandina on a stake in the arena of that town while other Christians were being tortured for the amusement of the crowds. The account goes on to say, "Since she seemed to be hanging in the form of a cross, and by her firmly intoned prayer, she inspired the combatants, the martyrs, with great zeal as they looked on during the contest, and with their outward eyes saw through their sister him who was crucified for them, that he, Christ, might persuade those who believe in him that everyone who suffers for the glory of Christ always has fellowship with the living God. And although small and weak and greatly despised, she had put on the great and invisible athlete, Christ, and in many contests had overcome the adversary, and through the conflict had gained the crown of immortality. Now, in sharing this story, reflecting on the idea of a holy day set aside to honor the martyrs and other saints who live sacrificially in love toward God and towards others, the obvious question to ask is why? Why do we have a day like this set aside in our church calendar? Why do we focus on something as morbid as a young woman, a slave girl, being tortured for the amusement of the masses? It's because in martyrdom, a person's faith is confirmed. It's because the first Christians believed that in sacrificing one life in love for God and others, that a person became as fully one with Christ on this earth as they were capable of being. It's because these saints were those through whom, as the account says, through whom Christ pointed out that the things among men which appear mean and obscure and contemptible with God are deemed worthy of great glory. The saints show us that what is small in the world is great in God's kingdom. It's like St. Paul said in his first letter to the Corinthians, that God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God chose the blandinas in the world, weak, young, frail, female, exploited, abused, enslaved, marginalized, poor, without rights, without hope in this world. God chose the blandinas to shame the powerful of this world. He took the low and despised things to bring to nothing things that in our eyes seem great and awesome, unparalleled in power and might. He brought to naught the Roman Empire and continues to give honor and recognition to young slave girls like Saint Blandina 18 centuries later. The witness of saints like her bring to life the teachings of Christ Jesus and remind us that our worship does not consist in mere words, but in a life lived close to God, a life of love, of sacrifice, of service in which we put God and others before ourselves. And it's the witness of the saints that bring to fulfillment the clarity of the words of our Lord Jesus from what we heard in the gospel reading, that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. What does Jesus tell them? Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The saints remind us of the shocking nature of the Christian gospel. They remind us that apart from God's grace, there is no health in us. That without the Spirit's illuminating power to transform our hearts and minds, we would not put our trust in Christ. We're all naturally predisposed to self-preservation. There's nothing in our DNA that says, it's a great idea to endure torture. It's a great idea to suffer and die for someone that you can't even see with your physical eyes. That's why we need the prayer of St. Paul in our reading from Ephesians 1 this morning. He prayed there that the Ephesian church and our church today would have the eyes of our heart enlightened, that we may perceive what is the hope to which he has called us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We pray with Paul that our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, would be enlightened so that by the Spirit's power at work in us, we can see clearly what is otherwise shocking and obscure. The power in this world is worthless before God. That's a shocking truth. And yet it's fundamental to the Christian gospel. That the path of discipleship is a path of sacrifice and self-denial. That's a shocking truth, but it's fundamental to the Christian gospel. That Christian formation is formation unto Christ and his cross. And that Christian worship is a participation in the worship of heaven right now. Just as we heard in the revelation of John, in Revelation 7, verse 9, where there is a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. Today, as we commemorate All Saints Sunday, ask yourself, where do I get peace? Where do I get hope? Where do I get joy? Where do I get security? Do I get these things from the things of this world? Power, money, status, admiration, accomplishment, influence, pleasure, profit? Do you want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened? To see the shocking truths of the gospel for what they are, to see the very form of Christ Jesus himself in the weakest and most vulnerable among us? Are you willing to see God's wisdom in weakness and the foolishness of the world in its so-called strength? I don't ask that as a condemnation. I don't ask that as a condemnation to those who struggle and wrestle and need to grow. Ask it as an invitation. Christianity is not a condemnation of the world, despite what you might have seen on the news. Christianity is not a condemnation. It's an invitation to take part in the new world that God is already creating in Christ. Condemnation doesn't produce saints like Landina. Invitation does. It's an invitation into what our psalm today described in Psalm 149. Where it says, let God's people praise him in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord has pleasure in his people and gives victory to those who are oppressed. Let the faithful be joyful with glory. The invitation is clear for all of us today to come. Come to the dance. Come and sing and add your voice to the sound of rejoicing at the heart of the universe. Come on, it's such a joy. Come and receive the pleasure, the delight that God himself takes in you, his people. Come and find victory by identifying with the oppressed. Come into the joy of God in Christ. Come with the faithful and the joyful in the glory of God. Come, come with Saint Landina, Saint Paul, with all the saints. Come to the Lord Jesus at his table. As we prepare our hearts to feast on him, let's remember of the joy inherent to Christ's invitation to all of us today to come. Let's pray. Father, would you open our hearts to what you want to do in us today? Would you shock us out of complacency? And would you invite us into your joy, into your love, into your grace? May we respond to that invitation this morning with gratitude, with rejoicing. And would you prepare our hearts now as we anticipate feasting at your table now today as a foretaste of that day when we will see you face to face and rejoice at the wedding supper of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Eucharist Podcast. For more information, visit our website at eucharistsf.org.